Let's pray, and then let's open God's Word together. Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you for the privilege of being ones who have been touched by you. We ask that right now you would reach out your hands to each one, that you would lay your hands on our shoulders, but even more that you would pull us in tight and wrap your arms around us. We ask that your love would saturate us this morning. You are our Father. And we thank you for the privilege of calling you our Father, our Daddy, our Abba. We ask that you, by the power of your Spirit, would now cause your Word to be alive, to be sharp, to be active inside of us, to be accomplishing its eternal purpose in each one of us. Lord, you created us, you made us. We are not just physical, but we are spiritual beings who live forever. And so, do eternal work this morning. Do eternal work in each one of us this morning, we pray, in Christ's holy name. Amen. Well, I invite you to turn in your scriptures to the last book, the last chapter of the book of John. The last chapter of the book of John. I've been using John during the Lent and then Easter season. We've been looking at the accounts of Jesus' resurrection appearances. We looked at how he showed up on Easter to the believers there in that closed-up room. We saw how a week later he came and appeared again, and this time Thomas was present. This week, he's showing up where Thomas and Peter and some of the other disciples are gathered on the Sea of Galilee. John chapter 21. This is one of those familiar texts, and I've preached it so many times, but there's an aspect of it I want us to hit. I don't know that I've really emphasized as much in the past. You know, you can read the same scripture over and over again, and different aspects of it, the Holy Spirit puts his finger on and pushes the buttons to try to help you see a little more clearly. So we're going to read it, but it's not until towards the end is what we're going to focus on. John chapter 21. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet his disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And now at verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Much has been said and written about this text. Peter had denied Jesus Christ just a few days back. Before the resurrection, there was the arrest, there was the trial, and then the crucifixion. During that trial, Peter denied three times that he knew Jesus. Jesus predicted this. Jesus told him it was going to happen. Peter said, no, it won't happen. But it did. Peter denied Jesus. And we have this event, which is really kind of odd, which is really seemingly out of place, which is in between those first appearances and now this third appearance. And for some reason, Peter's going fishing. I get the idea. It's not just it's Saturday, a fishing opener. Let's go enjoy some relaxation with some friends and family. It almost sounds like this is an abdication of your assignment. Like this is an escaping of what you're supposed to be doing. Like this is going off and running away from where you should be. And so Jesus shows up. He calls out to them when they're on the lake, children. Children is the term that he uses. A term not just of endearment, but maybe of recognizing that there's a little bit of childishness in the behavior of the disciples as they're maybe running from their purpose in life. And then Jesus three times asks Peter, do you love me? With each of those questions, there is an opportunity created. An opportunity for Peter to say yes. Sometimes we need those opportunities. An opportunity to say, yes, Jesus, I do love you. See, Jesus knows all things. Peter was right on his third response when he said, Jesus, you know everything. You know that I love you. And indeed, Jesus knows our hearts. He knows our trials. He knows what we're going through. And Jesus knew that while Peter was down, while Peter was maybe even beating himself up for his failures, Peter was a man who loved Jesus. Peter was a man who Jesus knew was going to have successful ministry. Jesus earlier had said, you are the rock. I'm going to build my church on this declaration of faith that you have proclaimed. And you disciples are going to be the ones who spread my church, who spread my message, who continue my kingdom expansion. Jesus had great confidence in Peter, more confidence in Peter than Peter had in Peter. And maybe Jesus has more confidence in you than you have in you. Maybe Jesus sees what's really deep down inside, and maybe Jesus understands the struggle you're going through, and maybe Jesus understands the attack of the enemy all better than you understand. And Jesus sees that by yourself, maybe there's failure, but by his indwelling presence, there is victory. So when we need a reminder, when we need an encouragement, when we need someone to come alongside and give us an opportunity to say, you know that I love you, Jesus comes and creates that opportunity for you. I think today's one of those days. It's a day of saying, I do love Jesus. I've been distracted. I've maybe checked out at times. I've maybe dropped the ball. I've maybe not done what I should have been doing. But Jesus shows up and Jesus calls me and gives me a chance to say, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Today is a day to receive that opportunity and respond in faith and say, I love you, Lord. Now notice what Jesus does after hearing Peter's response. When Peter says, I love you, Lord, what does Jesus say? Three times he responds with a similar type of statement. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. Then feed my lambs. Then tend my sheep. Then feed my sheep. What is Jesus doing? When the response of faith was declared, the response of love was declared, Jesus follows it up with an opportunity to obey, an opportunity to engage in kingdom ministry, an opportunity to demonstrate the reality that the love of God has been received. Because what happens? What happens when the love of God has truly been received? The love of God flows through us. It's like you want water to flow through the pipe, then open the tap. You want the love of God to be evidently flowing through you? It's there inside, but it's kind of just sitting there, pent up. Open the tap. Let the water flow through you. Let the water come gushing out of the tap. You want to be able to say, Lord, I love you. You know I love you. I love you. Then feed my sheep. Tend to my sheep. Feed my lambs. As we express the love of Christ to others, it's as if the gushing of the love of God into us intensifies. The pipe that we are starts being filled over and over again as the love of God flows through us. I've chosen to preach this text on Mother's Day because I believe that every godly mother is like a pipe into which the love of God is flowing and out of which the love of God is flowing. We celebrate that mothers are God's design and mothers have been God's plan for allowing His love to be passed on to the littlest of lambs and to the growing lambs and to the adult lambs that have been given to them as children. We celebrate that. And we recognize that that picture is a picture of what Jesus Christ has done. Our call to worship verse from the book of Isaiah describes God as our shepherd who carries His lambs, who picks them up, who watches over them. We now are both lambs of God, being carried by God, being loved by God, being cared for by God. But we also at the same time are shepherds. You are a shepherd. You are one to whom God has entrusted sheep. And God is saying to each and every one of us, if you love me, care for my sheep. If you love me, feed my sheep. And notice what Jesus does not say. He doesn't say, if you love me, feed your sheep. He says, if you love me, feed my sheep. Now, this text is used so often to teach pastors how to be better pastors. And Lord knows we need lots of those kinds of instructions, us group called pastors. We could use a lot of that. But it doesn't only single out those who stand behind a pulpit. In fact, the Scriptures describe each and every follower of Christ as both a lamb and a shepherd. You are a shepherd. You are a shepherd of sheep. Whether biological children or neighborhood children, whether people in your extended family, people in the community, you are an influencer of Jesus' sheep. Right here, you're surrounded by some sheep. Right here, you're surrounded by some of Jesus' lambs. Right here, you're surrounded by some that might need an encouragement, that might need a word of uplifting. Of you saying something that passes along a reminder of how much God loves them. Of you creating an opportunity for them to receive afresh and anew an assurance of God's love. We are surrounded by sheep that we are called to minister to in Jesus' name. As we do that, He says, feed them. Feed them. So I want to focus now, the second half of my sermon, on what does it mean to feed the sheep that Jesus has given you to care for. They're Jesus' sheep, but you've been assigned the task of caring for them. So let's think about this for a little bit. If Jesus gives you an assignment to feed a sheep, what are you going to feed them? Well, the first obvious analogy from Scripture is you're going to feed them the Word of God. Feed them the Word of God. The Word of God is spiritual food. We are physical beings and spiritual beings. As physical beings, we need physical food. My wife fried me some eggs this morning, and we were in Fargo on Friday visiting some folks, so we stopped at the bakery, and we got cinnamon crunch, I think it's called, bread from Harvest Bakery. And this morning, we put it in the toaster, put some butter on it. It was so good. We need physical food because we're physical beings, but you are a spiritual being. Your children are spiritual beings. Your sheep that you are assigned to care for need spiritual food. The Word of God is food for us spiritually. In Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was being tempted by the devil, he says, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." The Word of God is our spiritual food. So give the Word of God as food to the sheep to which you are caring. Secondly, we note that the Word of God is life. The Word of God is life-producing. Psalm 119, verse 25, "My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your Word." The Word of God births spiritual life. The Word of God is the seed of God that brings an impregnation of spiritual reality and impact into the very depths of our being so that spiritual life is created. We share the Word of God with the sheep entrusted to us so that life erupts. Spiritual life comes from a sharing of the Word. Mothers share the Word of life with their children. We all, as shepherds, share the Word of life with the sheep entrusted to us. Salvation comes through the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16. Paul is talking to Timothy, and he says to Timothy, "You know that from your infancy, Timothy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." The greatest thing a mother can give a child is the spiritual food of God, of the Word of God that brings salvation. The Word of God brings salvation. Romans 1:16. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles." So we're talking about each and every one of us being shepherds, and each and every one of us being challenged by Jesus, called by Jesus to feed my sheep. We feed them the Word of God. I think there's some people today and some people this week that God's going to bring close enough to you to talk to, and in that conversation, you can give the Word of God as food, as light, as life, as salvation to them. Receive the Word of God. I jumped ahead and I said the word light. Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." As you give people the Word of God, it becomes light to them, guiding them where they should go, what steps they should take, leading them towards Christ Himself. We need the Word of God as light. And then we need the Word of God as protection. As protection. I didn't remember this verse. Maybe it's more frequently on the top of your mind. Zechariah 2:5 says, "And I myself," God speaking, "will be a wall of fire around it," around my city, declares the Lord, "and I will be its glory within." God is, in this verse, a wall of fire. Other verses talk about him being a wall, a fortress, or a strong tower. The Word of God is a protective barrier. We give the Word of God to the sheep entrusted to us so that it's protection for them. In the ancient world, people were concerned about their safety from wild beasts or thieves that marauded around. And so they would live in walled cities. The wall was protection. The Word of God is protection for us against the schemes of the devil, against the wiles of the enemy. Psalm 91, verse 4 says, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be a shield and a buckler." Again, objects bringing protection. Feathers might not sound like much protection, but when you consider little ducklings gathered under the wings of the mother, of the hen, the wings covered with feathers are actually protection, whether from elements or temperature or even beasts that might come close. And then the Word of God is a sword. We see this in Ephesians chapter 6 when the description is made of the armor of God. The one piece of the armor is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. A sword is used to cut. A sword is used to break off. A sword is used to remove those entanglements. The Word of God becomes a sword in the hands of a believer. And we as shepherds give to our sheep the Word of God and train them how to use it so that they can start wielding it, turning it this way and that way to fend off the attacks of the enemy, to break down his lies, to break down his accusations, and to loose people from the entanglements of the devil. See, the Word of God brings deliverance. Just as Jesus quoted the Word of God in the wilderness when he was being tempted by the devil, and each time the Word drove off the attacking voice of the enemy, so we help our sheep use the Word of God as protection to defend themselves against the attacks of the enemy. In closing of this section, consider this verse. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, "For though we live in the world," verses 3 through 5, "for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Sheep are pretty defenseless. A shepherd carries a staff, and as we think about King David as a young shepherd boy, he carried a sling. Sometimes they carried rods. And Scripture talks about thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, as we think about our good shepherd. Well, we are called to protect those in our care. We are called to tend to and feed those in our care. Like a shepherd caring for sheep, so we care for the Christians assigned to us, whether biological children or people in the community. Like Peter, we might have to lay down our agendas. We might have to stretch out our hands, a symbol of possibly his crucifixion that would come. We might have to allow ourselves to be led around by others even in our old age. But the idea is that Peter was called to stop running and start engaging in the assignment God had for him, which meant he was to shepherd Jesus' sheep. You and I are called to be sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ and shepherds of the Lord Jesus Christ, caring for other sheep. We declare the Word of God over our children and over those entrusted to us. We teach the Word of God to them and help them start using the Word of God in their own defense, in their own maturation process. We help them learn the Word of God so they can quote it against the attacks of the enemy. We teach them the Word of God so they can pray it and claim it I was thinking about a time when Lisa and I were just beginning ministry. I don't think we were on official staff of this church yet. We were still just volunteers. And we became part of an evening ministry called Evangelism Explosion, where we would learn different aspects of the gospel as we grew in our understanding, and then how to communicate it. And then each week we'd go visit some of the people in our community. So week after week we'd go do this, and we were brand new parents. And we'd have a babysitter. I'm sure it wasn't old enough to be a babysitter caring for a child. It was amazing what happened. We would be seeking to trust God, to volunteer our evening, to leave our brand new baby at home and go do this ministry. And it seemed like time after time, something would happen with our little child. There's one time in particular that as we were getting ready to get in the car and head into town, that he became just extremely sick. He's like collapsing or some small amount of vomiting, and we're thinking, he's dying. We've got to rush him to the hospital. And so we called the senior pastor and said, we can't come. We got to go care for our child. But there was nothing wrong with him. We brought him back home. Nothing wrong with him. So we prayed all week long. Lord, what was that all about? The next week, we're getting ready to go do Evangelism Explosion in our community. And all of a sudden, our son is having these same symptoms. But we acted differently this time. Instead of panicking, racing him in the car to the clinic, we said, wait a minute, we saw this before. And so we said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we claim the word of Christ over our little one, over our sheep entrusted to us. And we say, hands off, Satan. We cut off you attacks of the evil one. We break off any of these symptoms that the devil's trying to foist upon him. And we receive the promises of Christ and the health of Christ for our child. And we're going to go do evangelism. There was an instant change. The symptoms of sickness disappeared. Health is restored. We confidently entrusted him to this teenage girl and drove into town to share the word of God with some other people that evening. The word of God is protection. The word of God is life. The word of God is light. The word of God is food. The word of God is a shield. The word of God is what we wield to cut down the attacks of the enemy. And you as mothers, you as fathers, you as people of the kingdom of God are all shepherds who feed God's sheep the word of God for the glory of God, for the kingdom of God, to walk in the victory of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way you treated Peter and reinstated him and encouraged him. Gave him those three opportunities to say, yes, I love you, yes, I love you, yes, I love you. And we thank you that three times you recommissioned him and said, feed my sheep, tend to my sheep, feed my lambs. Lord, as you did for him, you are doing for us. And we are saying we love you, and we receive this commissioning of being feeders and carers and tenders of your sheep. Thank you for entrusting us with these little ones. Thank you for giving us this high calling of being sharers of your word. We receive your word. We share your word for the glory of Christ. Amen.